Good to see everyone out this evening. Didn't seem too long ago I was up here last month. Boy, time flies as we go. This is the first Wednesday in October, and as is our custom here, we'll dedicate this worship service and songs of praise to our God. Last month, if you were here, we kind of focused in on the cross and the actions and what Jesus did for us. And tonight, we're going to kind of hopefully focus our minds on what that action did. And we're going to sing songs of praise to God for our redemption. And when you think about the word redeem, really when I was going, thinking through some thoughts, I guess the most common usage that we have today is when we redeem coupons. And so we give something and we get a little bit in return. We have to remember we're not talking about coupons. We're talking about our souls. And we're talking about what Christ's actions did for us. He paid it off. He was fulfilling prophecy. He set us free. He saved us from a state of sinfulness. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us all in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. And so we can see that we have redemption through the blood of Christ. And over in 1 Peter chapter 1, as Peter is talking to the Christians at that time about their conduct, he says, "Be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received from tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And so as we lift our voices in songs of praise tonight, let's all remember that we have been redeemed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't been redeemed, listen to the words of this song, and hopefully you will want to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's all lift our voices in praise to God.
Number 7 in the song.
Oh,
number one in the book. Holy, holy, holy.
blessing us for when we use the bed instead. Thank you for the use of weather we've had in the past few days. All the beauty of creation given for us, that we can see how wonderful you are and how powerful you are. And thank you for allowing us to come together tonight with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to sing songs, praise your name, to help one another with our singing, our voices. Pray that it's everything that we do here tonight will be according to your will, according to the law. Benefit from our being here that we all love it and that our singing service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings of life that you've given us, our physical blessings that you've given us. We're very blessed in this country, Heavenly Father. We know that we have far more than what our needs are. Bless us in so many ways. Help us to never take these blessings for granted. We always give you good. Glory and honor for them, and always use them in a way that will glorify your name. We want to especially thank you for all the spiritual blessings that you've given to us, the church that you've given us, and sending your son to die on the cross for us, that we can have the bishop of our sins. Just having the prayer that you've given us, thank you so much for all these spiritual blessings that you have given to us. Lord, help us draw closer to you. Father, we know that there are some among our number who may be sick. Please be with them, be with the people who are ministering to them, help them to regain their health, to support them to be some of their traveling, and to reach their destination safely and come back. Take them together with us. Thank you for your singing service tonight, and Father, help us to focus in on the words, the praise that we're giving them to you, help us to focus in on the message, the songs, the redemption that you've given us through your Son, sending your Son down the cross, so that we can have redemption from our sins. Help us to focus in on these words, to block out all the worldly things going on in our lives, so we can worship them in a manner that we're pleasing them. Please forgive us of our sins, Father.
Say redeemed, and then the answer is how I love to proclaim it. That's something we need to do on a daily basis as we are going about in our everyday lives. Number 411.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim. Thank you.
369, mended and whole.
He gave me a song. 428. Both verses, please, of 428. Oh, happy day. 15, I am his child. And we will sing the four verses softer, and then as we go into the chorus, we will pick up both the volume and the tempo.
Thank you. 596 is Grace Reaches Me. This will be the last song we'll sing before the invitation, so I'm going to ask you all to stand. We'll sing this song together and try to follow my lead. It says slowly at the beginning, and at some point, I don't know when, I'm going to try to speed it up a little bit, so try to follow me.
Song that's been added this evening before Brother Jones brings us the lesson. Number 360, Standing on the Promises. We'll sing all three verses, please.
Standing on the promises of Christ, I need to carry my life. I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises. About 1983, I was given the task of teaching a kindergarten and first grade class. Now, for those of you who have done that, you know what a trial it is. But I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And one of the things that, well, actually, the whole theme of that 18 weeks that I taught that course for those little kids was God always keeps His promises. We put it on the board. We made a big sign. And every day when I came into class, I said, what do we know? That God always keeps His promises. And every day when we left class, we studied today about God keeping His promises. What do we know? God always keeps His promises. Those kids got tired of hearing that. And of course, they got louder as time went by. So I'm sure all the other teachers got tired of hearing it too. But it was a great lesson. It was so great, in fact, that I was fortunate enough to go back to that congregation about 5 or 6 years ago. And there were these three beautiful young women came up to me, looked me in the eye and said, God always keeps His promises. Because I had had them in class and I couldn't even recall their names. Talk about feeling about that tall. But one of them is a chiropractor. Another one is a nurse, and another one's the mother of two. And they're all Christians, and they're all married to Christians. One of them's not married, but she's a Christian. Anyway, it was awfully gratifying to me to know that something I had done sunk in to these kids. And the amazing part is, the young lady who had two children, they knew God always keeps His promises. You teachers who don't think you have any impact, when you're teaching class, I urge you, continue. Because it's the greatest thing you can do for these young people. Some of the things we studied in that class, obviously we had to talk about Genesis chapter 9. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant which I will make between me and you and every creature that is with you. For perpetual generations I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. God always keeps His promises. In Exodus 12, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on two of the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And then they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted in fire, the unleavened bread with bitter herbs. Do not eat it raw. Boil it all with water, but roast, nor boil it all with water, but roasted in fire, and the head with the legs and its entrails. And you shall let none of it remain until morning. And thus you shall eat it with the belt on your waist and your sandals on your feet. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign to you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not touch you or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. God always keeps His promises, both good and bad. In Joshua chapter 21, verse 43, the promised land is mentioned. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land that He had sworn to give them to their fathers. And they took possession of it and they dwelt in it. And the Lord gave them rest all around according to all that He had sworn to their fathers. Not a man of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all of their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. What does that tell us? God keeps His promises. In 1 Kings, we learned that God told Solomon, couldn't think of his name, that God told Solomon, if you will but do my will, your descendants will reign in the house of Israel forever. He told Solomon, your descendants will reign in Israel forever. But what did Solomon do? He didn't do what the Lord told him to do. The scriptures were opened in the New Testament to the disciples when Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you and while I was still with you, that all things shall be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem, and they were endued with power from on high on the day of Pentecost. God keeps His promises. In Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done all of the will of God, you may receive the promise. You may receive the promise if you have done all the will of God. In James 1:12, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. In 2 Peter, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And here is the greatest promise of all. In 1 John 2:25, he says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. The Lord has promised us eternal life if we will obey him. That's all we have to do. It's not magic. It's not some sort of ritual that we have to go through. That's not what it is. It's obedience. And the Lord has promised us eternal life if we will but obey Him. If there's anyone here tonight who doesn't believe anything else, remember, the Lord always keeps His promises. And one of the promises is that those who do not obey Him have an eternity of pain and suffering. But those who do obey Him have eternal life. If you're subject to the gospel's invitation this evening, we would ask that you would come forward as we stand and sing.